And aloha. Welcome to the Travel Angel Radio Show. I'm Cindy Palos here with you. And I'm really excited today because just yesterday I released the brand new book. I did the Travel Angel Handbook about 5 years ago. And yesterday I did the new one. It's finally released on Amazon. It's How to Fly with Less Stress. And I also have it up on Kindle. And I am in the middle of getting pretty close to doing the audio version. So I've always thought when people get nervous about flying, it'd be so nice for them to be able to read a book and or listen to some soothing words and what they can do on the plane. I've got relaxation exercises, things you can do while you're sitting there on the plane to exercise your feet and your head and your body and your hands and everything. Also relaxation techniques and affirmations and meditations and everything, and all kinds of ideas about how to travel with less stress. So that's out on Amazon. How to Fly with Less Stress is now out. Yay. And I am leaving on Saturday. And Kathy Takushi is on her way. There she is. Oh, can you close the door, Kathy? I left the door open for you so you could come in. Kathy Takushi with Captivating Journeys just walked in the door looking lovely. And Captivating Journeys and is our co-sponsor here. Captivating Journeys can be reached by calling Kathy, or you can also call Tina at 244-1414, 244-1414. So I'm leaving for Spain, and I am going to places on a cruise. It's a smaller Oceania cruise line. It's the Serena, which is about 600 people. And I fly out in the evening on Saturday and arrive on Monday, August 7th. And have a day at Bilbao, Spain. That's mainly known for its very famous Guggenheim Museum, which is got very unusual architecture. A lot of people have seen pictures of it. It's a modern museum. And I have to say, I looked at some of the pictures, and it didn't look like the kind of art I like that much, but the building is looking fabulous. So I have one day there and then take off on Tuesday the 8th and then go down the coast to Gijón, Spain, and then to Santiago. Santiago de Compostela is very famous because that's where the end of the walk, where a lot of people do their pilgrimage, is. So I get to go to that big cathedral there that's very famous. And then a couple days in Lisbon, Portugal, and then down to Gibraltar, get a day cruising, and then go. I haven't been to Gibraltar before. Have you been to Gibraltar?
I have not. Yeah.
There's a lot of apes there.
Really?
It's famous for these apes. These apes have kind of taken over the country, actually.
Oh.
They have to kind of feed them at the top of the mountain, or they come down and attack the people in that boat. And then, but it's got quite a history, of course. And then to Alicante, Spain. I don't know anything about that place. A day in Ibiza, and I'm not taking a pill there. You don't know that song? I took a pill in Ibiza. Chris knows. It's a famous song.
I had to think.
Okay. Yeah. And then Menorca, Spain, which is below Mallorca by about, a little ways, probably. And then land up in Barcelona for 3 days. So that's the trip. And I get back on, I'll be flying back across the country on the 21st, which happens to be the day of the solar eclipse.
Oh.
And it'll be really interesting because I think I intersect the solar eclipse right around Kansas someplace. And I don't know where I can find. I got to see if I can find glasses that you can look at the eclipse with, you know, because I don't know if I'll see it, but I'd like to be able to see what it looks like from the plane. Because you're here in Hawaii, we're only going to have, like, I think a very small, it's a quarter, maybe not even quite a quarter eclipse, and that happens first thing in the morning at around 6:30 in the morning on the 21st. So that's exciting. So, I'm so happy to have in the studio some wonderful people. Ginny I see quite often. Ginny has Ginny's Curry up at the food court right up the street there. And I love Indian food, and I love her curries because I'm vegetarian. She has a lot of great food I can have. And her son Chris is here. And Chris actually goes back and forth between Fiji and here. And he just got back a week ago from spending actually 6 or 7 months in Fiji, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to them in a minute. So what's happening with you, Kathy?
Oh, just the same old thing, just booking people to Japan.
Japan?
Yeah, I'm just amazed.
I'm wondering if this last missile test is going to start worrying people. I don't think it will.
I don't think so, because I don't think they want to do anything to Japan. They want to do something to us, but they're just testing.
They're flexing their muscles, I think. Which is not real, only because they don't have brains. They're flexing their muscles. But people are still wanting to go to Japan. What are the prices? Are the prices really good?
Airfare's anywhere between $800 and $1,000.
Well, see, that's the price of what I just saw, because I was looking at to go to Sedona. I saw the price going to Sedona, $950. And this is in
Sedona's
September.
Sedona's always expensive.
No, but not that. I mean, that's crazy. I could go to Japan for the same price or maybe a little less than I could go to Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know why. Japan's really popular. This year, at least for me, I don't usually get a lot of Japan requests. It's more mainly Europe, and Europe has been kind of quiet this year.
But. Well, people aren't saying it, because I listen to all of our travel shows, and they're saying, oh, the prices are down. They're not down. I'm sorry. I looked at the prices, and literally you'd have to pay twice as much right now to go to Europe as you would to go to Japan, and I really think that price is dictating people's decisions. That and maybe a little fear of terrorism, you know?
Well, maybe from Hawaii, there's that new...
distance.
It's always, of course, we always pay more, but that new Norwegian airline.
Yes.
I think they have pretty good fares. Yeah. I haven't really looked into them too much, but...
Yeah, but they don't give you anything with that. Check it.
Yeah.
You're very limited on the fares. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do one bag, it's like, it can get down to about $600 or $700, but then you have to get to, that's from L.A., so you got to get from here to L.A.
Right.
So if you're paying $700 to get to L.A. and then paying $700
to get... It doesn't work for us,
Exactly. And why would you do it if you do a liner that you usually use? So, but I mean, no, I when I heard the prices, when I just heard you think of those prices to Japan, it makes me interested. Plus, there's people, like I'm friends with Kalani Pale, and he just went to Japan with the whole group, and Hawaii love Japan right now. You know, there's this huge renaissance of loving the halaus and the dance and the music, and so there's a lot of love back and forth between Japan right now. And even if you've been to Tokyo, you know, there's lots of other places you can go visit.
I know. I haven't been. I need to go.
Oh, absolutely. We should go.
Yeah.
Where are people going? They're just having you book the flight, and or are they having you do tours? Or
tours. Most of the clients that I've been doing, it's their first time to Japan. So the main spots are Tokyo, Mount Hakone, Mount Fuji. You know, that's usually a day trip, and then down to Kyoto.
So it's a day trip from...
It's a long day trip. About 11 or 12 hours.
That's a long day
I did
trip.
Have clients that actually stayed overnight there, and they enjoyed it. But and of course Kyoto and Nara, that area has been popular because it's more of the old Japan.
It's beautiful, the Kyoto. Yeah, so. Plus, you can get on the bullet train down there really fast.
Mm-hmm. Two and a half hours.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And everyone should have that bullet train experience, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. Plus, I would say if you were going to try to see Fiji, definitely spend the night, because Fiji is one of those temperamental mountains like Haleakala, and it can disappear in the clouds.
Right.
And you can go all that way. Like you said, it's a long ride, and then you can see nothing. And so they have some lovely little... They don't call them bed and breakfast. I forget what they call
them. The ryokans.
Yeah. You stay in a ryokan, you get the feeling, you're not there when the crowds come, and you can have a much better chance of experiencing Fiji. It's an amazing mountain. It's very, very, of course, the art. How many pieces of photos and how many pieces of art have been created with it? So it's a very sacred mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth spending a night there if you can, I think.
Yeah. But it's kind of, right now there. I have some people interested in going in the summer, but it's really hot in the summer.
It can be humid, right?
You know, that's the only time they can go, so they're going.
If you could go up north, is I think cooler.
Hokkaido. I'm working on Hokkaido too.
And there's supposed to be some lovely little places to stay up north.
And Sapporo and up there.
And there's some areas with hot springs that have lovely that you can stay there. Very, very interesting. Yeah. So if you want to go to Japan or
anywhere else in the world,
or on a Paul Gauguin cruise. Is the 18th sold out? Was it the 18th at last Paul Gauguin? That's one that's coming up in August?
I don't know. I have to check. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm going on the 28th still, but you can call Kathy at 244-1414, 244-1414. Now, I'm very happy to have Ginny in. Ginny spelled with a J, right, Ginny?
Yes.
Yes, J-I-N-I.
It's the last four letters of my name. My name actually is Sarojini.
Sarojini.
So when we were trying to have a trade name, some of my friends and actually my graphic designer who lives here on the island, her name is Zenobia. She has won many awards in her graphic designing. So then there was a suggestion that came up that we should just use Ginny. It's easy to say and it's just right on the point. So we decided to have Ginny Scurry.
It is a lot easier. I don't know if I could say the other name. I won't even try.
Sarojini actually means lotus. So that's why when you see it in our logo,
there is a lotus,
and we incorporated a spoon, so that became Ginny Scurry.
Well, for people who don't go as often as I do, it's a secret that a lot of people may not know about. Right up the street here on Main Street, as you go up across from the Chevron station, is the food court there. And Ginny, as you walk in the door, she's right on the right side. And I love it because you do really homemade, delicious food.
Exactly. That's the whole idea.
It's really good.
It's a family recipe, and we want to continue with that. And you may have tried Indian food in the commercial restaurants. That's basically they inherited from India. Like my ancestors were from India. That was 150 years ago almost. Indians were brought into Fiji Islands by the British.
That was 150 years ago. They actually brought the people down to the Fiji Islands.
Exactly, because British ruled Fiji and also British ruled India at that time and many other countries, as you know, the history goes. So the first ship arrived in Fiji on the 14th of May in 1879.
Wow.
And it brought about 463 people on a ship called Leonidas. Then after that, there were various ships. It brought almost about 61,000 immigrants.
It must have been interesting, too, because the British people were, at that point, if they had been living in India, they probably had gotten used to eating the Indian food as well.
Yes, they did. And that's how they took it to Britain.
There's a lot of good Indian restaurants in London.
Absolutely, a lot. Yeah, very much. So then there's this amazing transference of the food and the culture that's kind of blended in. You were born in where in Fiji?
I was born in a small town called Ba.
Where's that called again?
B-A. Just B-A, a very Ba. Small name, Ba. Okay. Ba in the Fijian, indigenous Fijian languages also means mom, and in other languages it also means mom.
Oh,
so it's just
B-A. I think I remember seeing in Gandhi where Gandhi says that we're Ba. I got it. So Fiji's made up of lots of, much more so even than Hawaii, lots of little islands, right?
Almost 300 islands. Yeah. Not all are inhabited. Like, there are two major islands, then there are smaller ones. And most of the islands are known for the tourism. People from all over the world, they like to go visit, scuba diving, jet skiing, other things.
So did you stay where you were born, or did you move to...
I stayed in that town for almost 21 years of my age. Then my business took me around the island. I lived in a small town called Rakiraki. Then I was married in a town called Ba. And then I was, because an insurance consultant, it took me around all over the island.
You also did some radio.
Yes, I did. In the later part of the year when I was staying there in 2009, I was a radio host in the evening program from 6 to 12. It was a midnight show of old hits.
Classics, we call
classics,
them.
Classics, yes. And people enjoyed it.
So that's, is it a state-run radio?
It was a private radio station. There are four radio stations in Fiji, actually.
Just four?
There are more. Wow. In Hindi language, I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
There are many more. But the Hindi radio stations, they run 24/7.
Really?
Exactly.
So you're speaking in Hindi?
I speak very good Hindi, yes. Hindi is taught in schools. Now it is being taught at the university level. And people learn.
Give me a sentence of your name and your son's name in Hindi. I've never heard Hindi spoken before.
Mera naam Sarojini hai aur ye mera beta Krishan hai.
It's very flowing, very lyrical language.
Yeah. It is. Like there is another day-to-day conversation language that's a mixture of various languages. When Indians were brought into Fiji, people were from different states, different cultures, backgrounds, languages, castes.
Because in India, there's so many different dialects, right?
Yep. So when they were put together in a remote island, they had no option but to come to terms.
So they create one language out of all the different dialects.
It doesn't have much grammar, but it's a very sweet language that we speak in the house.
And what's it called?
Fiji Hindi.
Fiji Hindi.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called Fiji Hindi.
Fiji Hindi. And that's what you were raised with then, right?
Yep.
You spoke only Fiji Hindi growing up.
Yeah, that's all we ever knew.
And so tell me, in school there, Chris, I imagine it's very important. Some tourism is a huge part of the life there. Did they make sure they do classes in English? And that, because you speak very good English.
Yeah.
That was part of the...
Yeah, they do teach English right from kindergarten.
Which is important.
Yeah. Since everybody learns English and everyone knows Fiji Hindi and the indigenous people know their language, so English has been the main part, and since Fiji has Indians and indigenous people and also Asians, so what they do now is if somebody knows Fiji Hindi, they have to learn indigenous Fijian. And forever, who knows indigenous Fijians, they're taught Fiji Hindi.
You have a bit of an English accent. Can you hear it in his voice? There's a bit of an English. You almost talk with a little bit of an English accent.
The medium of English in Fiji is British English. Mm-hmm. So in the curriculum, it's very important.
So were you doing cooking there? Did you have a restaurant ever there?
No.
Isn't that interesting?
I was a good host all the time.
You were a good host. Feeding lots of people.
Exactly. That was our family culture. Like, my mom used to cook. My dad was a very good cook. He used to cook in weddings, parties.
Oh, really?
Not for money, but for passion only.
Well, I have to say, in India, I've seen stories of these huge weddings that are just goes on for sometimes a week. And it's like, I can't believe the money they spend.
Almost 5 days.
So did that culture also come over?
Exactly. The Fiji Indians are very cultured. They still carry on the traditions. They wear all the costumes. They perform all the rituals. It's very much there. And sometimes when Indians from India, they visit from various parts, they come to visit Fiji, they're amazed to see that we still, after 150 years, we carry on the culture and the traditions.
So doing food, as your father would for these weddings, that was big. It was big. It was big. I mean, that's a huge catering job, right?
Yes, yes. But he did it for passion, because the weddings in Fiji mostly are held at homes where the bride belongs or the groom belongs. So they put up a big shade, and everybody comes, the families come together, and they cook together. Everybody gets in, and they cook together. They prepare the meals right there.
At Indian weddings, almost everybody is invited. So
the whole town?
Yeah.
So it's massive. So you get, 500 people at a wedding?
More than 500 sometimes.
More than 500.
It depends how much the family can afford.
Before, I believe...
The villages.
Probably when she got married. Probably 1,000 people might have been
invited.
Was
it that much?
Yeah. Was it
that big?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. It's
they spend a lot of money on that then.
They do. But in the villages, when wedding happens, all the relatives, friends, neighbors, because everybody has some connection with you, and they come forward and help. Mm-hmm. They contribute. Like they help with cash and kind, and somebody will give you the help of the labor that whatever you need to do, they'll come forward and help you.
Now, I have to ask, because, you know, Kathy, people go to Fiji all the time, but most of the time they go to the tourist resort areas. Now, I know they do get, and I've heard many people say they go to Fiji and they love the singing. They do get greeted with singing, and how friendly and loving and open the Fijian people are, which really seems to draw a lot of people. And I'm going, well, gosh, we got aloha here. And they said, no, it's much more innocent and childlike and loving and sweet. So tell me a little bit about that tradition, and if you see that, I mean, I don't think people ever see maybe your culture of the Fijian Indian culture versus what they're seeing in the resorts. But I do know one thing, here in Hawaii, people go one time and they go, well, there's got to be more than just this resort, right? Have you had people go, I want to do anything but resorts, Kathy?
No, they just want to do the resorts.
They want to do the resorts. Mm-hmm. So what are they missing? Tell me about the other side of Fiji.
They're missing a lot. They're missing the actual way of life, like how people live in the villages. There are tours that take to the Fijian villages, but there are very, very few that provides an opportunity to go to the Indian villages. But there are many tourists, those who like to eat out at the local restaurants. They want to mingle with the people because the people in Fiji are very inviting. They'll invite you to their homes. They want to share what they have. And the Fijian culture is very rich. The Fijian people, the indigenous people, they're very rich. They love to share. And their culture is very rich. And like Yangona, kava.
They have kava there?
Kava is another booming business in Fiji.
They do kava ceremonies, or is it pretty
there much? There are kava ceremonies. It's an official greeting.
Oh, it is?
It's an official greeting by the Fijians, the Fijian chief. So whenever, if you are visiting a village and you are invited there, they'll greet you with their Fijian ceremony, the traditional kava ceremony, and they'll give you a bowl of kava to drink.
So these little villages that you grew up in, like Chris, how many people in the village, like where you grew up?
It depends. It could be heavily populated in some villages that are situated far away. They have a, you know, a lesser population. But we usually grew up in the suburban areas, closer
to... Mostly in the towns, because we were in business. So they're mostly in the urban centers.
So we're talking like 10,000 people, 15,000?
Yeah.
20,
the town that I was born, it is almost 36,000 people in the district.
The current population, I believe, of Fiji is approximately 900,000. Yeah.
Bigger than
300 islands, and the total is close to 900,000.
Interesting. But that combines all the islands.
And there is close to 1 million visitors on the islands.
And the main island that everyone lands on is
Viti Levu, where the airport is. It's called Nandi Airport.
Nandi.
An international airport, yeah.
Now, Kathy, when people book the resorts, I know it can be rather expensive at some of the resorts. Now, but a lot of people don't want to just go to one. They will land right there in
Nandi.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And then they'll usually
go to the small islands.
Fiji Airways now, I was going to say, they are the only ones that fly, I don't know.
Yes, Hawaiian Airlines used to, but they no longer do.
That was so hard, wasn't it?
Yes.
But what shocked me, I was talking to Chris before we began, it's 6 hours to fly down to Fiji.
Yep,
kind of like Tahiti.
That's a quick flight, but it's 22 hours difference in time, right?
Yeah, Fiji is 22 hours ahead of Hawaii.
It's the dateline.
Yes.
So that's very interesting. So, I'm kind of surprised people haven't really wanted to explore the villages. Now, tell me about you're talking about rich in culture. I know that people say there's a lot of singing and there's a lot of culture and there's dance.
Guitar, it's like the music, the native music anywhere in the native islands, I would say, the Papua New Guinea, the Maoris, the Kiwis, the Aborigines, and Fijians, and Hawaiians. There is some similarity somewhere.
Yes.
And that's how the culture is. So they play guitars, ukulele.
They have the ukulele there too.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So they greet you at the airport.
And flower lays.
Yes.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so in weddings, I imagine, too, do they have that same thing with the music? And
yes. Music is big in Fiji.
And it is different sounding music, but it's happy sounding music. I've heard some of the Fijian music, and it's very happy sounding, isn't it?
Yes.
Very soothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the dance with that?
Yeah. So in the radio stations, are you playing American music or are you playing Fijian music?
No, there is a full-time Fijian station. Two radio stations. They are 24/7 like the Hindi radio stations, and there is English radio station where they play the English music. All the hit numbers.
So music for all sorts of people.
Interesting.
And there are folk songs as well. They're in a segment, they might have lots of lots of things combined together in the hour. So they have a segment of folk music, latest, all mixed up.
So is the same as here? Are a lot of people who work there, like you, Chris, are going, well, if I'm going to get a job, I'm going to have to be working at one of these resorts. Is that the main employer, or the resorts and the tourist businesses?
No, not necessarily.
What do people want to work in?
Since, I would say, private business.
Private business?
Yeah.
Yeah, corporations. Plus, people do hospitality so that they can get a better wages at the resorts and benefits.
Mm-hmm. There's also this thing where the big resorts, the big hotels are situated far away from home. So that would be a factor, you know, since people in Fiji like to stay very much family oriented, they're very used to leaving family and going working way far away. It's growing now. People are doing that now, going to work at islands, but usually they like to stick around home.
So if they go, then you have to actually even sometimes go to other islands to get work. And then what did they go? Are there ferries or that you can do for regular workers, or do you have to fly back and forth?
I imagine the ones working in the islands live there.
Oh.
They would, you know, be accommodated by the hotels.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be doing daily traveling.
Yeah, it'd be too much.
It's too much. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have the little private boats, but I don't.
Yeah, there's more. If it is not very far, you can go back and forth on daily basis. But mostly, they like to stay there, and then fortnightly they would come home, or monthly they come home.
So tell me about the food, because you obviously have fresh fish.
Yes.
You got the ocean there, right? And you have all this rich tradition of this wonderful Indian cuisine, and then you have the Fijian.
Yes.
Cuisine, and I don't even know what Fijian cuisine is like. What is Fijian cuisine typically like?
Typically, tapioca,
oh,
a breadfruit, seafood.
Uh-huh.
Is very famous in Fiji. People eat beef, but very little. Chicken is coming up now, but before people used to have backyard raised chicken, and so the Fijian food is like similar to the Hawaiian food. It's mostly soups, boiled or stone roasted, like they do the luau here. It's called lovo. When you dig a pit in the ground,
the earth ovens.
Yeah, so you heat up the stones, charcoal, a lot of burn, like thick woods. You heat up the stones, then you wrap your food, and then you put some pandana leaves, and you cover it with the soil, and that's how it cooks.
Oh, that sounds good.
And the amazing thing is that lovo is the Fijian way of cooking, right? And it's been easily adopted by the Indians there as well. If there's a function, if there's a birthday, or for no reason at all, they do lovos as well. The Indians, yeah.
And that's the cooking with the stones. And
Don't
you have an oven kind of situation at there? Or do you have one at your restaurant?
No.
No, okay.
It would never do the same.
It
would never have the same flavor.
It wouldn't be the same because it's not outside. It's not with the stones.
No.
You literally need to dig up the ground.
Yeah.
Put hot stones in there, wrap up your food, spice it up, put it in there, cover it, let it cook.
Have some music, ukulele and music, and dance while it cooks.
So don't you think people are probably missing out on a lot when they don't go out to the villages, and they could then eat even in the villages and have probably a more authentic dining experience?
Exactly. It's happening.
Could.
Various villages, they have a tour arranged, and they take the visitors to the interior villages, like far away, maybe 30 kilometers inside the villages.
Mm-hmm.
They would take them there, and they will have a ceremony, and they will have the same logo.
Some tourists get the opportunity to visit interior villages that the locals have never heard of. People living in Fiji, excuse me. Say the people living in urban areas, they're not too fond of the village life in the interior areas, and they'd be.
Is it looked down on? Is like not as is it sophisticated?
No,
is
maybe
it looked in just
maybe
as
they think that there's no need to know, or they never made an effort.
Uh-huh, interesting. So there's a separation even in the suburbs and outside between the villages and the suburban life.
Yes, but since we grew up on a farm, I grew up on a farm. I love the villages. I love the village life. I love to tend my garden. I wish I have one here.
Uh-huh.
I don't have yet.
Uh-huh.
So because we grew up on a farm, we had all fresh fruit and veggies from the farm, and there was never I can think that my family would ever go to the market to buy fruits and veggies.
Now,
it's how abundantly we had it on our farm.
You're self-sufficient.
The rice.
You're basically all
my parents grew rice, peanuts, tapioca, corn, fresh corn, organic corn, I mean.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because seeds in Fiji, a farmer has to preserve their own seed. Nobody goes and buys seeds from...
Really?
Exactly.
So it's handed down generation to generation.
Exactly, yeah. You have to, whatever
Monsanto
you...
Monsanto hasn't come in yet.
No, there's someone may be doing it. There are a couple of Chinese people who are selling, who are trying to influence that you take this seed and you, your produce will be maximized.
Mm.
So they're trying to do it, but generally what a farmer is used to, they create their own seedlings mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the next season. It's a must, and that's how my family did it.
Now, there's been some very hard situations with weather and with government. Fiji's gone through some terrible hurricanes. Did mm-hmm. you ever experience mm-hmm. any of those hurricanes?
Yes, we did.
That can be pretty devastating. What did you, I mean, we always say here, be prepared. It's hurricane season. Most of us aren't. But you, the reality is you've seen some hurricanes.
We have seen major floods. Even my business was affected. We had 4.5 feet water in our shop.
Wow.
About 90% of our stock was damaged.
Wow.
We had 3 floods in the same area in the town. And basically, Fiji is surrounded by the sea, as you know, like Maui, the Hawaiian Islands. So whenever it rains, there is some, the low-lying areas, there is 90% of chance that they may come underwater.
90% is big.
Because they are on the coastal lines.
Yeah.
The Fijian villages are mostly on the coastal lines.
Uh-huh.
Indians live mostly in the interior part of the island because they grow sugarcane.
Uh-huh.
Where it doesn't rain that much. It does, but not that much. So the coastal lines normally have a lot of rain.
Almost all the towns are situated near a river.
A river, so the rivers can get when the water wash comes down.
When there's extreme mm-hmm. rain, there's a high likely chance that it will get flooded. And that used to happen a lot before. I think they're fixing it now. Mm-hmm. And last year we had a tropical cyclone Winston in Fiji. And it was recorded the second highest ever.
Wow.
It was the strongest in the
southern. Were you there?
No. Fortunately, I was in Maui that time.
But you spent about half your time in Fiji, right?
Yeah. So that time I was here. We followed it on the internet. We, mm-hmm. you know, whatever we could find out. But it was really, really terrible.
Wow. It was terrible. Not only strong winds, flood was there too.
So it takes a long time to recover from any.
Long time. People are still recovering.
Wow. Since you know, all the vegetables, fruits, animals, everything was very, you know, deteriorated.
Wow.
Washed away,
Homes.
Homes, yes.
Homes, wow. So luckily, Fiji has neighbors like New Zealand and Australia who will...
That helped out.
Very much, yeah.
Well, you know, we think of Fiji as... I know, Kathy, when people are prepared to spend a lot of money. A night at a resort can cost $1,500 a night, right? Some of mm-hmm. these resorts are very high-end, right?
Yeah.
Does that money go back to the government? Or do the government give it back to the people? I know, tricky question.
It's a tricky question, because most of the resort owners are foreign investors.
Ah, yes.
So we may never know exactly what's the earning and what's the tax uh-huh. that they pay.
Uh-huh.
We would never know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can understand
that. Yeah, majority of the resorts are foreign-owned, like Westin, Marriott.
So the money doesn't
Sheraton,
stay there.
Yes.
Except for the people who get...
Exactly.
And here, you know, we've got, of course, built up a little bit more money for minimum wage. What is minimum wage in Fiji when you're working for a resort?
I think the minimum... There is no set minimum wage in Fiji, like $2 or something?
No.
It has increased a little bit.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Last I believe it was $3.
People used to earn $10 per day.
Wow. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
That's terrible.
The highest I think is 4:45. I think right now I'm not pretty sure, but it's not more than that, but it depends. Like the private sector and the government department. Like if you are in an executive position, you get higher pay and extra benefits as well. But the minimum wage is still a concern for a lot of people because there are lots of graduates who are out every year in the field looking for a job.
And the jobs don't pay.
No.
And there's only the jobs and the mainly jobs and resorts.
Yeah, the graduates may have to start at a rate of a high school graduate. Then you gain your experience and then you climb the ladder. That's how it is. Mm. It's bad.
So do a lot of the people leave then because
cost of living is very high in Fiji.
I've heard that.
People have started migrating from Fiji. It's a beautiful island. It's my birth country. I love it dearly. But the political situation in Fiji has discouraged many Indians to stay back. So that's why
there's been at least 7 or 8 overthrows in the last 20 years?
Fiji had 4 major coups. And the first coup happened in 1987. It was a military coup.
Yeah.
The reason given was that indigenous Fijians need to have the power to run the country, and they did not want any influence from the Fijian from the Indian people. To be true, the Indian community in Fiji, the indentured people who were brought in during that time,
mm-hmm.
their main concern was farming because they couldn't go back. Mm-hmm. The promise was not fulfilled when they were put on the ship, saying that it's a 5-year indenture system. You are just going nearby. You will have a lucrative wages and so when they reached there, it was a barren land. Like it was not developed. Lots of shrubs and bushes. So uh-huh. that's what they cut, and then they started the sugarcane farming, and then it was not easy. It was as torture was on the top list at that time. Mm-hmm. So they were tortured. 4 people were put in a 10 by 10 feet small.
That's like slave labor.
Slavery, yes. And women also worked. They were whipped. Mm-hmm. Even children were born on the field.
So we don't hear about the slavery in Fiji. And this was basically slavery.
There is. If you Google it, you read it, you'll be amazed to find out what the situation was.
And that
was.
Wasn't that long ago. I mean, you know, that was not that long ago.
No. So
your relatives remember that.
So, yes. So since they could not go back and there was no rule hard and fast that you better leave the country and go back to where you came from, it was like on the British rulers to say that if you want to stay, you stay when they ruled. So some of them, because they were missing their family, and the family paid their passage, and they went back because planes were not coming to Fiji at the time. It was the ship that you have to, that was mm-hmm. the means of travel. And some of them, they went back.
Mm-hmm.
And those who stayed, their focus was the farming.
Mm-hmm.
And they focused on the farms. After the indenture system ended up in 1920.
It was 1920 when it ended?
I think, no.
Wow.
No, sorry. It ended up in, Fiji became independent in 1970. I have written notes. Oh, yeah, 1920. The indenture system was abolished.
Wow.
That they cannot bring any other Indians in Fiji.
After
no
indentured. After they stopped it in 1920, then they gave them the opportunity. If you guys want to stay, you can stay. Or those who want to go back, you can go back. And some of them, those who stayed, they stayed because they had a better life in Fiji than compared to back in India.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also maybe they didn't have the money to go back.
They didn't have the money. True. They had lost contacts with their families. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't contact them.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. were broken families. Many came without even informing their family that they were heading to Fiji.
Wow.
Because of the way the British...
The lucrative offer.
Yeah. Many were just pushed into boats and told you're going to work and earn a lot of money. And, you know, people thought I'd have a better life. And they just thought to go to Fiji. They must have imagined must have been a day or two trip, but it took months.
6 months to reach Fiji.
Wow.
The first ship took 6 months.
To Fiji, yeah,
wow.
So, yeah.
Many died on board. Thrown into the sea. So I was.
So now, how many people are the Fijian Indians? Is how large a population? In
when she was saying that the first coup happened in 1987. I believe the population was almost equally divided, 50%.
56% of Indians.
So there is
Fiji.
Some strength with the amount of people that
but
you have.
For 2016, the figures say the Indian population has come down to 37%.
Mm. Yes, and I was telling you the why after the indenture system was abolished, the traders came to Fiji. The traders from India, sandalwood was a big business in Fiji.
Oh my gosh.
Fiji had lots of sandalwood. Uh-oh. So there was a British businessman who was trading. And then the Gujaratis from India.
And I imagine England still had owned all the land pretty much, that they had all the land rights and had all the coastal lands and all the
Fiji
places.
Yeah, they own the lands, like there are very few freehold properties in Fiji. Then there is a crown lease, which had a 99-year lease. And so if the Indians had bought the 99-year lease, it has come to an end because it's been generation to generation. So now the rest of the land is native lease. So Indians cannot own land. They can lease it.
Oh, you can't own land if you're Indian, but the British can own land?
And they have no interest anymore.
They have no interest?
They left Fiji in 1970.
Yeah, and they didn't leave a lot of people behind with the British.
There were few, but then they went back, the families. There were few British families
so who
living.
Who came in and bought up all that land and made the resorts? Who's the main population of people that came in and bought and saw
the native people sold it to them or they have leased it to them.
Well, then there's some rich native people.
There are.
I'm just saying.
All the land belongs to the native people.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I don't know what percentage, but the majority of the land belongs to the Fijian people.
Uh-huh.
There are some, as I said, some freehold lands that doesn't require any lease.
Do you see people coming down? Because, I mean, we know you see people go to Fiji and go, oh, my gosh, this is so beautiful. In fact, there's some people, I think, from Maui that might have gone down and started some of these resorts or bed and breakfast down there. Are you seeing people
going
down?
There is a Maui Bay resort in Fiji.
There is a Maui?
Maui Bay resort.
Maui Bay resort?
Yes.
In Fiji?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Right there.
Yes.
So there is some connection of people going down and say, I'm going to buy some land. I can start a nice bed and breakfast. The prices are really expensive. I can make some money down here, right?
Exactly, yes. It's happening.
But there is the weather. There's the government situation.
Yes.
And no, the government is very welcoming.
But the government's good now.
The government is trying to help the business sector.
Is it solid, though? You feel it's not going to get overthrown again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They have a plan. They're working towards the future. They are future planning.
A lot had happened in the past. The constitutions thrown out the window several times. Mm-hmm. New constitutions had been made. Currently, people are happy. They have a sense of security, even the Indian people. That this government is taking care of. They want equality, not only in job sector, but in scholarships and other sectors as well.
Yeah, what brought you to Maui, Ginny?
I came to Oregon. I was married to an American. He was my second husband, and he was married to me, so he passed away in Fiji. And it was the first time in 2010 I came to Oregon, where he lived before. So I had no idea that I will be settling here in U.S. I just came with that idea. And during that time when I was still mourning his death.
And how old was Chris then?
So it took me 10.
You were just.
I was close to 20.
Yeah. 20 years old? Okay.
Yes. So I came here and then I found out that because he had a property there and I had to stay and take care of that. So I applied for my permanent residence, and it was granted. So I stayed here for a year, and within that time, I came to visit Maui. So I decided if I have to move from Fiji, this is the place I want to be.
Back to the islands.
Yes. Oregon was too cold for me. Then I stayed in Sacramento for a bit with one of my classmates I met her after 20 years. And I pretty much loved Maui because it resembles. It's the island life, the same vegetation, fruits, the same aloha spirit.
Abba.
Fiji has the bula spirit.
What's it called? The bulai.
Yeah,
bulai.
Bula.
Bula. That's bula. Goodbye. That's, was that like aloha?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
bula.
Aloha.
Bula.
Yeah, bula. Mm-hmm. So I loved it, and then I went back to Fiji, stayed there for 5 months, and packed my bags and came
so,
here.
So now, what the situation is? Do you have a still? Do you have a passport, a Fijian passport?
I have a Fijian passport.
So you have
yes.
the two passports.
No, I still have to take the American passport. I have.
So you have to go back and forth.
Yeah, I can go. No, I can live here as long as I want to. I have a permanent residence.
But Chris.
Chris doesn't have it yet.
So he has to go back every 6 months.
Yeah.
To Fiji.
Yes. He can stay for 2 weeks here and go back. It's up to him.
For just 2 weeks?
If he wants to. He can stay up to 180 no, days
I can,
here.
I can come multiple times if I want
Multiple
to.
Times. But yeah. that means going back and forth.
Yes.
Which can, you know, what is the cost of the airfare going back and forth to Fiji about?
Close to 800. It depends. It fluctuates. It can be 1,000 too.
It can be up to $1,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is that, not just like you're just going to hop back and forth. And
exactly.
not for unnecessary reasons.
Yes.
So are you working at all in Fiji, or are you working? I know you help your mom here at Jenny's Curry, mm-hmm. but do you work there as well?
Yeah, I work with my dad. He has a entertainment business.
Entertainment? What does he do?
Entertainment as in we have a pool center with the video games and all that.
Oh.
So, yeah, I helped him with the day-to-day running of that.
Oh, and that's right in the main island.
In Lotoka City.
In the main of the city, main part of the city.
Yep.
So when you're back home, what restaurants do you go to? What would you recommend for people to have the real Fijian experience when they go to Fiji?
Real Fijian experience.
What would you, your friend, you're telling someone, if I just said I'm going to Fiji, what restaurant should I go to? What would you tell me to go to?
Sitar.
Sitar?
Sitar. It's a restaurant in Nandi. They serve good Indian food. I believe it's pretty authentic.
And it's got to be better than your mom's food, but I doubt that. It can't be better than your mom's food.
No way.
No way. Yeah. It's called Sitar, like you play the sitar,
yeah.
right?
Yes, yeah, sitar.
Sitar.
Yes.
And so that's good. And probably pretty reasonable, right?
Yeah.
And for there are pure vegetarian Indian restaurants too. Mm-hmm. In every town you'll find one. The Govinda restaurant is also
Governor restaurant.
Govinda.
Oh, yes. Govinda restaurant.
That's also very famous for vegetarian people.
Oh, good.
They are good restaurants in Fiji, but you have to get down into the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What name is that part of the city? Just call it.
You land in Nandi. That's Nandi town. Mm-hmm. The neighboring city is Lotoka. That's where I live.
Lotoka.
Second largest town.
And the capital is Suva.
And can you do that? If people do that, they probably don't have Uber, do they?
No.
Oh.
Taxis, lots of taxis.
Taxis, and probably pretty reasonable taxis, or the taxis expensive?
The running taxis.
No, the simple thing to do would be get a rental for yourself.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty simple. The road is basic. Mm-hmm. You can drive anywhere.
But not on the left side. You have to drive on the right side.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that. I like the right side. I'm used to the right side.
Yeah, that's pretty important. You stay on the right side.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And so they can do that. And then is there little places that aren't the resorts that people can stay in that are little hotels or bed and breakfast that they can stay in that are probably can save a lot if they don't?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Lots of backpackers too.
Lots of backpackers too. Mm-hmm. They have hostels or anything like that?
Yeah.
They do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah.
And you can explore. Is there good hiking and good parks and things to go to?
Oh, yes.
Where do you like to hike when you go back?
I don't hike.
You don't hike? How can you not hike? But you don't hike. When you go walk in the country, where do you walk in the country?
I would, the beaches are very good. We love the beaches.
That's not like, okay.
I would go
is
hiking.
Is it white beaches like here? Do we get the nice white beaches?
Fiji has lots of corals, shells.
So on the beach is not as sandy so much as corals?
I don't know, but if you've heard of Natandola, that's in Singatoka. They have a huge resort over there, and that beach was
it's very sandy.
I believe it was among the top 10 beaches in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And which hotel is that?
Intercontinental.
The Intercontinental. So people can go over there and take a walk along the beach
it's
lunch
there.
Yeah,
it's a very, very beautiful beach with awesome waves. Yeah.
And there are very small islands. When you go to the islands, like to name one, there's Beachcombo Island. It's a day cruise from the mainland. Uh-huh. You go there. It's just a 35 minutes
boat ride.
Boat ride. And it's a very small island. You can just go around the island.
Walk around it.
Yes. It's very sandy.
It's an everyday thing. In the morning, you book a tour. They're going to pick up all the passengers, tourists, locals, and they will put you on the boat. You take a 30-minute drive, boat ride to the island, and then you spend your day there. And there's also an offer that takes you around multiple islands, close by islands.
Uh-huh.
You can do a day trip
whole thing?
To all the islands.
All the islands. That's mm-hmm. probably a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people can contact Kathy Takushi. We have about 4 more minutes. But you know, I mean, I'm just always like to recommend people try something different when they go to a country. Mm-hmm. Because it can be pretty, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's not an authentic experience. When you go and stay at a resort, it's nice, and it's fine if you want to do that. And there's definitely people that come here and want to resort. But I'm seeing more and more people come to Maui, especially the younger generation people that want to come and experience walking and doing and experiencing things as a local would or with a more authentic experience. And so this is the kind of thing I'm recommending to people is plan your trip, go down there, you know, try doing renting a car. Spend some time in a local hotel. Experience the local. Maybe go out and see an Indian village and see what it's like. Yeah. You know, things that people don't regularly see when they go to Fiji.
Yeah.
You know, and then do the day trip of the islands, you know? And do that. And Kathy can help you do that, can't you, Kathy?
I can. Oh, I was just showing Ginny. I sent some clients to this little island, Navini Island. It's so Navini.
Navini? Yes.
And it's so teeny. I mean, you can just walk around.
Yes. That's how the Beachcombe Island Resort is.
Oh.
You can just go around the island. You can go fish feeding right from there, jet skiing, and snorkeling. Mm-hmm. Then you have your lunch over there.
And mm-hmm. you could do that, or you could spend $5,000 and go to Jean Cocteau's island. I would, you know, I mean, why not go and do this in a little island that's still private and not spend the $4,000 or $5,000 and going to, you know, John?
So even if you say that going to Fiji and staying in a resort cost you $300 if it is for a night,
maybe
so
more.
It's actually $150 because the currency is, you can divide it by half.
Yeah, but I think most of the resorts that
They can be the high-end ones
that are over the water the glass bottom and the big, what do they call those big high-ceiling rooms that are the high-ceiling rooms that are thatched?
The burrays?
Where do, is that really real or is that made up? Do people live in burrays?
No,
or?
The ancient time, people were living in those kind of houses. It's called the burray house. And it is thatched. It used to be thatched with. Still, there are villages with those. I lived in that one. My family lived in the beret house. Yes,
it's like a big room.
It is thatched with grass.
Mm-hmm.
Various kind of grass. There is the strong one that can take the heat and the rain as well. And the walls are made out of bamboo.
Ah, okay.
So it stays cooler in the hot season and mm-hmm. stays warm during cold seasons.
Ah.
And that was the idea, and that's how they built it. And the floor was of mud.
Uh-huh. And did you cook in that main room or somewhere else?
You can cook outside.
Outside.
Yes. And they would make a small kitchen. Yeah. They'll make a small kitchen and people used firewood all the time.
Oh, we're out of time. But mm-hmm. you can call Kathy Takushi at 244-1414 and you can find out about how to do your own private adventure. And it really will be an adventure if you want to go to Fiji or anywhere. Or you can go to Japan for pretty reasonable prices. Now, I'm going to be gone. I'll be back on the 22nd, which will be the week after. For us, our next 29th will be my next show here. So a big aloha, everyone. Have happy travels.
Bon voyage, Cindy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I will also check out the How to Travel with Less Stress on Amazon.